I wonder how many times we pull our punches with God. Either we hold back our questions or we ask and then take the quick fix, kind of tweet-sized answers. And then down the road a little bit, we wonder why our faith seems shallow or like it doesn't mean much. Wonder why we pull those punches. Is it for us? Is it for God? Is it for other people? Not sure. But I do know that over the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at the beliefs and practices of other faith traditions with an eye to understand and see the beauty of the way that they live out their faith. And the hope is that interacting with folks that practice different faith traditions than ours, we can develop a kind of holy envy. The goal of this feeling of envy isn't to appropriate the faith practices of other traditions, but to learn from it and explore. Explore what it might mean in the Christian context so we can more faithfully and fully follow Jesus. And so this week, as we wrap up this series, I want to take some time to look at the holy envy that swells up, at least for me, when I talk to friends who claim no religious affiliation at all. Now, recent studies and books have labeled this growing group of individuals the nuns, not like the ones with the habit, but like nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because they self-identify as having no faith affiliation. Now, when I talk to these friends who claim this title, I find myself envious of their willingness to ask questions about faith and explore things that matter most. Rarely do I have an encounter with somebody who just doesn't care, but more often they have found faith answers lacking in some way or that shallowness of that kind of inch deep faith, something that they don't want to be a part of. And the reality is, kind of a side note, it's that it's rare to see somebody rejecting the idea of God. More often they identify as nuns because they reject being part of the institution of the church, because the church historically hasn't been a great place where there's this free exchange of ideas. And yet, that's what I believe it should be. The church should be a place where we're able to fully explore ideas and seek God with our whole entire selves. And yet, from personal experience, I know that that's not always the case. Now, I remember this one time having a conversation when I was volunteering at a student ministry. And the young people there were getting ready, they were doing a yard sale, and somebody had donated a stack of Harry Potter books. And discreetly, somebody just placed them in the trash can. "We don't promote witchcraft," was the response when I asked about the trashed books. And so I started to ask questions because I'm curious and probably up to no good is what they thought, you know, about why was it all right or not all right to have some books in this fantasy genre or not. And I then went along with my day, and after the event, I was kind of taken off to the side and asked to leave the theological teaching and perspective and my opinions to the staff and members of the church. I was just a volunteer, and I might influence the walk of these young people who were trying to sell books and raise money for whoever knows what that was, right? And for the record, though, in that conversation, I came to the understanding that for that congregation, the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, they were okay to read. But The Lord of the Rings, unacceptable, by J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, it doesn't have any kind of account to do or take into consideration that Tolkien's steadfast Catholic faith was pretty influential in C.S. Lewis's life and finding Jesus and faith in Christianity, right? We don't talk about that part. There's some pretty true tragedy when we feel like we have to protect God from God or from other people. And so we just don't ask those questions, or we feel like we have to choose something that is either this or that, when God has created both and expects a both and. You know, I think about my life and my interests and my passions, and personally, like, I love psychology. I love sci-fi and reading sci-fi. I love being out in nature and encountering all that there is there. But if somebody said to me that I had to choose either God or science, or they said that I have to choose God or imagination and creativity, or maybe that, you know, God is not really found in my experience in nature, I'd have a hard time with that. Primarily because we have been fearfully and wonderfully created to praise God with our whole being. With all that we are and all that we do, we have been made to be caught off guard and our breath taken away by God and discovering the layers upon layers of God's presence and fingerprints in, among, and through everything. From relationships to watching sticks float down the creek and the wonders of physics, it's all amazing and good, and God is all up in it. The reality is that most of God's fingerprints are found outside of the church or even ministry, right? They can be found in microscopes, in bio labs, or lyrics taking on their first breaths of life in a recording studio, or through fingers clacking on a keyboard writing the next great Narnia series. It'd be a shame to miss out on these parts of God because we're trying to do God a favor by not asking the questions that mean most to us, that are a huge part of who we are, that weigh heavy on our hearts, that we're holding back some of who we are because we're trying to protect God. But I'm willing to bet that no matter how altruistic we say our motives are, some of the reasons why we pull those punches and avoid those questions is that we've settled for a shallow faith. We've gotten comfortable with trite bumper sticker sized snippets that sound religious and make us feel good in the moment, but they're just that. And the danger is that when we settle for a bumper sticker theology, a faith fender bender throws us into a tailspin and it totals our whole understanding of what God is up to and doing in the world. And so this is why we hope to equip and empower every single person with the tools to live lives of hope and connection here at church. These tools are not the answers in and of themselves, but ways to find answers and a deeper understanding that go beyond the surface, so that when the waves rock, we can survive through that and see God more fully. You know, we see time and time again throughout the biblical witness that God welcomes our questions, our frustrations, the whole range of emotion. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau, and the night before he's meeting with his brother, Jacob wrestles for his life with God during one of the most terrifying times of his life. And he leaves that confrontation changed. He suffers a limp, the scripture says, for the rest of his life, but also he understands God in a different way, in a better way, because he didn't hold any of himself back. But Jacob has to go through that hardship to see the light that, you know, that he wouldn't have seen if he would have given up on God and just settled for what was surface deep. And so today's scripture kind of gives us some great insight into how we might relate to God with our questions and the things that weigh heavy on our hearts. From the things that we want and desire and try to understand, we can bring it all to God. This passage in Matthew comes kind of at the tail end of Jesus's famous Sermon on the Mount. He's just been talking about a whole bunch of stuff, including kind of painting this Bob Ross kind of style, beautiful picture of the kingdom of God, and then goes on to talk about not judging others and moves into this little bit about prayer. And he tells us, ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you. Like a good parent, God wants the best for us and knows what we need before we even ask it. God is longing for us to succeed and find happiness and joy, like all of that, right? And now, you might have caught that little bit. Now, I know what you might be thinking too is, so why do we have to ask if God already knows? I think that's a critical piece. Because our prayers matter and because God is relational. Just like the Trinity is relational, God invites us into a relationship and says, bring me all of what you want. And like a good parent, I'm gonna help you work it out. You know, personally, as a parent, I want to say yes. I want the best for my kids when they ask. Yeah, sure, you can have that candy as a snack. All right. When they ask for the same candy 15 minutes before dinner, then it's a no because there's other stuff going on, right? And so sometimes God, that good parent, you know, wants the best for us. And this is kind of the point of what Jesus is teaching and talking about here. You know, Jesus even made a way for us to be back in right relationship with God. And it's this little verse that we hear so often, ask, seek, and knock, that is so important, that carries so much weight. And so what does it mean for us today? Now, a lot of times I'll have multiple points during this part of the message, but today I only have one. Woohoo, let's celebrate, right? Because what we have is something that is a reminder that God permeates through all things. And so we can talk about, you know, ways to pray or talk to God another time. But this week, while researching this passage and thinking about these great questions from my friends that don't claim any religious affiliation, I'm struck by the power of keeping God as a conversation partner. You know, keep asking God for things, keep seeking God, keep knocking at those doors and even knocking them down that we have put between us and God in that relationship. Is powerful. God is looking for a relationship. Yeah, God already knows, but also wants to be part of that asking in this flow, in this dance of relationship. God isn't afraid of your questions and will go to the deepest depths with us to explore for the answers. And so this week, I want to leave you with the words of William Temple. He's an Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1940s or so. And he says this, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't." And so friends, let's keep God in the conversation. Let's allow God to be a conversation partner in all that we do, because the more that we ask, the more we can discover the wonders that our Creator has put right in front of us and the depths of God as that good parent, the depths of God's love for each and every one of us. You know, it's weird to talk about like not withholding God, but keeping God in that process. But in doing that, these things, these coincidences show up and change our lives, because God is in, among, and through all of it and wants to be part of that daily presence with you. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for this time to be together, time to explore in this space where we can ask all those things that weigh heavy on our hearts, and even some of those things that we're just still trying to figure out words to. Because we know that you are not going to forsake us or abandon us, but you sent your Son Jesus to make a path and a way for us, that we may be reminded of that power of your grace and your love as a good parent, to come and give us those things of our heart's desire as we include you in those conversations. God, change us, melt us, mold us, so that we might be your people, confident, no matter where we are, to see the fingerprints you have left for us. Amen.